Today we begin a new journey, a new study. We're going to be studying for the next several weeks the book of the Ephesians. Before we begin our study today in the book of Ephesians, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you that we have your very words, inspired, infallible, inerrant, is found in the Authorized Version 1611, King James Bible. Father, now as we embark on this study in the book of Ephesians, bless our time together. Bless your word. Teach us. Give us teachable hearts and teachable spirits today to understand your very words. Help us to be enlightened by the Holy Spirit that indwells each one of us as believers. Father, we commit this time into thy hand, and we ask it all now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going to begin with some introduction material on the book of Ephesians. And I begin by saying this, that the book of Ephesians was written after Galatians and Romans, sometime around AD 62, by the Apostle Paul. It is called a prison epistle because Paul wrote it during his first imprisonment at Rome. Now, the book of Ephesians contains 155 verses and 3,039 words. And it gives the Bible's most detailed look at the true nature of the church. Chapter 1 sets forth the spiritual blessings born-again believers possess in Jesus Christ. Chapters 2 and 3 reveal the grand mystery. Hidden from the prophets of old was the union of Jew and Gentile in one body. That Jesus Christ is the head of this body is declared here. In chapter 4, we learn that there are not many ways to heaven, nor many churches, nor many acceptable religions. There is but one Lord, so there is but one true faith. There is but one head, so there is but one body. Now in chapter 5, we have a grand picture of Christ in the church being the bridegroom and the bride. In chapter 6, we see the church at war with her enemies, putting on the whole armor of God and standing victorious against all evil. In Romans, Colossians, and Ephesians, we find three expressions which characterize each epistle. In Romans chapter 6, verse 8, believers are said to be dead with Christ. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, they are risen with Christ. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, they are not only raised up together, but sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. From this, we see that Ephesians presents the Christian in the highest position granted by God's grace. In fact, the coming of the Lord not mentioned in Ephesians because the believer in this letter is seen already seated in heaven. Along this line, it's interesting to note that in Romans chapter 7, verse 9, men are alive in sins before they are saved. in Ephesians, while men walking according to this world and the lust of the flesh, they are said to be dead in trespasses and sins in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And in Colossians, these two thoughts are combined in Colossians chapter 3, verse 7 with Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. Now, in 1 Corinthians, we learn of three classes of men: the natural man, the carnal man, and the spiritual man. Romans is written to show how God saves the natural man and provides for him so that he is able to live a life that glorifies God. The books of Corinthians and Galatians are written with the carnal man in view, to admonish the fleshly believer. Ephesians and Colossians are addressed to the spiritual saint. It is also of note that Ephesians and Colossians are addressed to the individual saints, not to churches as such. This suggests that spirituality is an individual matter. One's associates may lead one into that which is natural or carnal, but one must make their own choice about following the lead of the Holy Spirit. Amen. No Old Testament names or historical references are found in Ephesians. The eternal purpose of God takes precedence over all creation. Now, Ephesus was the capital of Ionia and was located on the Caistor River, not far from the Ionian Sea. It was a commercial center, attracting merchants from all around the eastern Mediterranean. Timothy was the pastor of the church at Ephesus, where the people worshiped the many-breasted Diana as a supreme deity. As one might guess, everything about this religion was a violation of modesty and purity. The temple erected in her honor was 220 years in building. In contrast to this lascivious female deity, Ephesians shows the God-ordained place of women, the glory of a building not made with hands, and the superiority of riches in Christ to those gained by trade. The book of Ephesians cries out for unity, whether it is setting forth the perfect harmony between the Father and the Son, the new union of both Jew and Gentile, the marriage bond, the relationship of parent to child and servant to master, or the purpose of God on heaven and on earth, the idea is the same: unity. In keeping with this notion of unity, the word one occurs 17 times in the book. In some form of the word love is found 19 times. In these six short chapters, the word in is used over 90 times. Where there is unity, things are in accord. In Ephesians, our spiritual blessings come according as we are in Christ, chapter 1, verse 4. Our adoption is according to the good pleasure of His will, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. The forgiveness of sins is according to the riches of His grace. Our knowledge of His will is according to His good pleasure, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. Our inheritance is according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things, Ephesians 1:11. Our understanding is according to the working of his mighty power, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. And though we once walked according to the course of this world, Ephesians 2:2. And according to the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2:2. We are now part of the body of Christ according to the gift of the grace of God, Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 7. The church lives according to the eternal purpose, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. Our inner man is strengthened according to the riches of his glory, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Abundant living is ours according to the power that worketh in us, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Our spiritual gifts have been received according to the measure of the gift of Christ, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. The body of Christ functions according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. The old nature lives according to the deceitful lusts, Ephesians 4, verse 22. And then finally, we are to obey our masters according to the flesh, Ephesians 6, 5. Now, while chapter 1 deals with the believer's blessings, the passage makes abundantly clear that Christ is greater than all the good things he bestows. In fact, every good thing possessed by the believer is theirs only because of their position in Christ. Notice with me how fully the Lord Jesus is set forth in chapter 1 as being the source of every good and perfect gift. We read in chapter 1, verse 1, in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2, from the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, in Christ. In verse 1, in chapter 1, verse 4, in Him. In chapter 1, verse 5, by Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 1, verse 6, in the Beloved. In verse 1, verse 7, in whom? In verse 1, verse 8, He hath abounded. In chapter 1, verse 9, in Himself. In Ephesians 1, verse 10, in Christ, in Him. In chapter 1, verse 11, in whom? Chapter 1, verse 12, in Christ. Chapter 1, verse 13, in whom? Much has been and could yet be written about all the great gifts and blessings given the believer in these verses. However, the theme of Ephesians is not the believer's blessings, but the believer's blesser. Amen. Is there hope of a resurrection? It was wrought in Christ, amen, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. We read, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Is there a glorious body? Is the question we ask. The answer, it is his. In chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Then we read, we ask the question, have we received so great a salvation? The answer, we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus under good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let this be our thinking as we read this epistle. All that we are and have is said to be in Him, to be in and by or through Christ Jesus. Let me state that again. Let us think as we go and we read through this epistle, and I hope that you will, in advance of our studies on Ephesians, go through the epistle of the Ephesians. Read through it. And as we do, as you and I do, let's think and remember that all that we are and have is said to be in, by, or through Christ Jesus. You know, if we do that, we remember that, we think on that, that'll keep us humble, amen. You and I are absolutely nothing without Jesus Christ. And what's interesting is you look at the way a lot of Christians ask, you would never act, you would never know that. They go around like they're the end, the most important thing on the face of the earth, amen. Now, chapter 1 tells of the good pleasure of His will in verse 5. Let's look at that. We read, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. And then chapter 1 tells us of the mystery of His will in verse 9. Ephesians 1 verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. And then we see also chapter 1 tells us of the counsel of His own will in verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Now, as we continue our introductory material on the book of Ephesians, I want us to consider the term, these two words, of Christ in Ephesians. Let's look at some verses that where we see the term of Christ in Ephesians. First of all, in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 13, we see the blood of Christ brings the Jew and Gentile together in one body. Ephesians chapter 2. It says in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And then in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4, we see the mystery of Christ is the wonder of His body, the church. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4, whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And then, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 8, we see, as we're looking at places in Ephesians where we see the term of Christ, and in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, we see the unsearchable riches of Christ, that which we preach to a bankrupt world. We read, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And then, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, we see the love of Christ the love of Christ, is beyond all human knowledge to comprehend. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, we see the term of Christ with the body of Christ is the union of believers under his headship. Ephesians 4, 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, we read that the fullness of Christ, the fullness of Christ is what the Spirit in his gifts work to accomplish in us. Ephesians 4, 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Then in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5, we see the kingdom of Christ. The kingdom of Christ is the future reign and glory belonging to the Lord. Ephesians 5, 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. What's also interesting, as we approach the book of Ephesians, there are seven walks discussed in Ephesians. Walk number one is found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. And there we find our walk, or our past walk, in trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2, 2. Wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Walk number two, we find in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, is the good works in which we should walk. Ephesians 2, 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And then we see walk number three, found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. And this is a walk worthy, fulfilling our vocation and calling. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And then we have walk number four, found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, the worldly walk of the unsaved a Gentile. Amen. We see then walk number four, the worldly walk of the unsaved Gentiles, Ephesians 4, verse 17. We read, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles, walk in the vanity of their mind. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Walk number five, we see, is the Christ-like walk in love is found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. We read, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering, and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And then we see Walk number 6, mentioned in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, which is the shining walk as children of light. The shining walk as children of light. Ephesians 5, 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And then the 7th and final walk mentioned in the book of Ephesians is found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. And that's the circumspect walk of a good testimony. Ephesians 5, verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Paul in Ephesians lets us look at his prayer list. In chapter 1, he prays for 3 whats, W-H-A-T-S. In chapter 1, we see in verse number 18, chapter 1, verse number 18, we read, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So we see 3 whats in his prayer list. What is the hope of his calling in verse 18? What the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, again in verse 18. And the third one is found in verse 19 of chapter 1, which is what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. So in Ephesians 1 verse 19, in what is exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. And then in chapter 3, chapter 3 of Ephesians, again we're looking at it, Paul's prayer list. He prays for four thats. In chapter 3, verse 16, we see that he prays that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And then we see another that he prays for in chapter 3 verse 17, and he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And then we see the third that in Ephesians chapter 3 that Paul prays for is found also in verse 17, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. And then the fourth that in Ephesians chapter 3 that Paul prays for the Ephesians, is found in verse 19, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. So these are just, we have more to go on our introductory material for the book of Ephesians. But I hope you'll stay with us for the next several weeks as we go through this book of Ephesians. I hope and pray that the book will be a blessing, the study will be a blessing to you. And of course, all of our studies on the pastor's study are available to you absolutely free on CD. All you do is have to drop me a line at the address given at the end of the broadcast and tell me which study you'd like. Again, thank you for joining me today on the Pastor's Study. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. My prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you. And good day.